Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS. But right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we both love since the first day we laid eyes on her. The queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello, I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Thank you for being here. Whether you're listening in 2021 in the middle of the holiday season or after the first of the year, I'm so happy that you've taken the time to chime in and listen and be on this journey with me. So thank you so very much for being here. Okay, since this is the last episode of the year, I thought it would be fun to randomly select a few episodes of the year and just highlight some of the inspiration that my amazing guests have brought to this podcast. So that's what I'm doing here. I randomly chose four guests who have been on the podcast this year, and I will tell you that it worked out perfectly. By chance, and ended up being all women. And within these four women, they have shown us love, faith, hope, and joy throughout their journey, their past journey, their current journey. They have inspired me and so many others who have heard their story. This is going to be a quick one, but a great introduction or a recap and a perfect way to wrap up 2021 and get us inspired to start the new year remembering that we are loved, we are not alone, and that hope, faith, love, and joy can get us through. So in this special episode, I am happy to reintroduce you to these four women who have been on the podcast this year. Emma Benoit, Leah Stamenhagen, Kanya Sesser, and Bernadette Okeke. Okay, let's jump right in. In this episode, I am talking to 29-year-old Kanya Sesser. And Kanya was in episode 27, No Legs, No Limits. She was the one who was born without legs, and she was left on the side of the road in Thailand when she was a baby, just a few months old. And she has grown into an incredible, strong young woman who caught my attention and just inspires me so very much. Here I asked her about her birth parents. Did she have any resentment towards them? You know, what went through her mind when she thinks about being abandoned? And here's what she said.
So I don't know anything about my birth parents. I don't know why they left me. And I don't really care why they left me, because I'd rather have this life than whatever life that could be. But we don't know, because they gave up. And I don't really want to question the whys. Because sometimes in life, you don't need to discover and need to know the answer. Like, even with me, there's times where I feel down and I want something, but I don't get it, or I don't get a certain opportunity and stuff like that. Or just for some reason, like, I'm like, huh. But at the same time, I try to think about the positive, and I'm like looking at the positive aspects in life to keep moving forward. The thing I learned in the past is that for me, it's not meant for me. So move on with the next situation and subject in life, because if you want to go dwelling on the stuff that isn't for you, all you're going to do is not moving forward.
I love her attitude. Oh my gosh. So she shared a little about growing up without having any legs.
There will be people that stared at me when I was in school, and there was people that point at me or laugh, but I was like, that's funny too. Like, I have a good sense of humor to do that. So it's just like, kind of like be the bigger person. And I always had that mentality that I never let evil win and like never let negativity win or let other people try to ruin my aura and ruin my energy ever since I was younger.
I can definitely see that. She's so positive. And it's obvious that she has let nothing stop her. Kanye is a professional athlete, a model, an actress. Whatever she wants to do, she just goes after it. It's great. With all that she's been through, I asked her, what has she learned?
You gotta hug the people that you love. You gotta live life the fullest with a smile on your face and not, like, don't worry about the negative that is meaningless. Don't hate. Yeah. Don't do bad things. Just focus on the good of how much you have left with this life. Because in this lifetime, we don't know when we're done. We don't know. And that's why every moment is special. Every moment has a meaning. Life has meaning. The best thing in life is love, is to love. Just love. Contagiously, unconditionally, love.
And she shared her life motto.
No legs, no limits, because there's no limits. There's no limits because, like, who's stopping you, right?
Kanye Sesser, episode 27, No Legs, No Limits, if you want to hear more. Next, let's listen back to Leah Stavenhagen. I think she was 28 at the time. She has a terminal illness, ALS. She has started a movement called In Her ALS Shoes, which pulls together other women who were diagnosed with ALS as well under the age of 35. Let's start by listening to what she said when I asked her about being 28 years old and talking about such a heavy topic like ALS and terminal illness and death.
Well, as far as putting my story out there, I think that kind of added a new dimension to it. It made it more real because, you know, of course, your family, your friends, they know what's going on. You talk to them. And so it was like, okay, now everybody knows what's going on. You know, this is really not something that I can just brush under the rug. But I think that was an important step for me. As far as the advocacy work, I think it is, you know, it's super fulfilling because, you know, you go through life and there's so much going on and so many distractions. And you're always searching for purpose. And it's like, okay, well, this kind of fell on my lap because I have to deal with it. And now I do have this great opportunity to hopefully make a difference in the fight to find a cure.
Leah is such an overachiever, such a driven young lady. I asked her, after being diagnosed with ALS, how her definition of success had changed.
So I think before, you know, it's all like kind of moving through life and you see what you're supposed to do. And so for me, that meant that, you know, I'd gone to college, I was going to, in the process of getting my master's, I was working towards a job in consulting. The plan was with Hugo to then move to Asia to kind of push our careers forward further, start a family. But this was just also kind of not abstract, but, you know, the large brushstrokes without the details behind. And for me, it was kind of crazy because I was always thinking, you know, like as soon as I've signed my job contract to work in consulting, then I can kind of take a breath and slow down a little bit because things will be easier. And it was the same month that I signed that contract that I realized that I had ALS. And so I probably had like 2 weeks, you know, without stress before this like huge boulder came crashing down on me. So it was like, okay, things are different.
And here I asked Leah about hope. You also said that now you have never felt so hopeful. And I just think about other 28-year-olds. I feel like they would hear you say that. And in the back of their mind, they would say, how?
Yeah.
You know, how could that be? Yeah. What would you say to them?
So I think before, the idea of hope in general was super abstract to me. You know, I hoped everything would be great for the future or that everybody would stay healthy. But I never had something really specific that I was hopeful for. I've had a very blessed life. And then all of a sudden, I have something that's very, very concrete. I am very hopeful that all this research and, you know, now there is more money being put behind ALS work, that it will pay off, that a cure isn't so far off. So I think it's, you know, I found this purpose and this cause that I stand for. And so I am incredibly hopeful that there will be a better future for it in a way that I wasn't hopeful for anything before.
I am so very proud of Leah and what she's doing in our ALS community, looking out and loving on other young women who are diagnosed with this terminal illness, giving them hope. If you want to learn more and hear more, that's episode 30, In Her ALS Shoes. Now let's go back and I'm going to catch up with Bernadette Okeke. I think she's like 62. She is a very wise, mature woman. She was a part of episode 29, Inspiration from 4 ALS Warriors. And I just loved her perspective and learning from her years of experience. Her insights were so, so good. Bernadette also has ALS, a fatal disease with no cure. But here I ask her about how she finds everyday joy. You seem like a very positive person. How do you find joy in everyday knowing that you have a terminal illness?
You know, that's a very good question. I think, though, yes, I know it's a terminal illness and the cliche that we are all going to die someday comes into play. But I focus on today for today, you know, and my thing is I'm going to make an impact while I'm here. Mm-hmm. And when I'm gone, you will have a positive thing to say about me.
What I loved about this episode was I took questions that you all had about ALS, about living with a terminal illness. And my four guests in that one episode addressed them. And here, Bernadette answers your question. A few listeners actually asked about faith. Is your faith deeper or less after your diagnosis?
Well, I guess it's deeper. So it gets deeper because you start having real conversations with God. Maybe before you knew he was there, you know, and you went to church, etc. But I go to church a lot less, but I do believe my faith is a lot more. And it's probably because those conversations are like really one-on-one. And it's like, okay, you don't feel that good today, but you still have a mission out here. So let's get it done. And some days I really get a burst of energy and then I go at it. And there are days when I really just need to sit. But at the end of the day, it's a conversation with God.
Yeah.
You get a lot more angry sometimes too, because you're still, you know, but you have to work through that anger. And you just kind of take a deep breath and then you just kind of let it go. And you know, and then you just focus and you'd be amazed at what you can hear in the stillness of, you know, and it brings a certain amount of peace. Yeah. That peace I didn't have when I was running around chasing private banking clients and running from one continent to the next, But you will soon find out that, yes, it's good to have a career, but that career does not stabilize your inner soul.
After all Bernadette has been through, I wanted to know, what is most important right now?
What I find most important now is just stillness, peace. Granted, the world seems to turn on its head, but when I close the doors to my house, I want to lock out all of that. Once I can do that, then whatever else comes to me the next day, I can probably deal with it.
Yeah.
But I have to have the peace. I think peace is most important.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved her openness and her honesty throughout that conversation. That's episode 29, Inspiration from Four ALS Warriors. If you want to hear more from Bernadette and hear from the other three as well. Okay, lastly, I have one more young woman to go back and revisit. This is Emma Benoit at a young 20 years old. Emma is a suicide attempt survivor. She attempted to take her life at 16 years old, and now she is fueled with courage and faith to talk about suicide, mental health, and to help other young people before it's too late. Here Emma talks about that day when she attempted to take her own life.
It's really difficult for me to vocalize this because when it comes out, it sounds kind of contradicting because when I say I never really meant to shoot myself, I mean, I never really meant to shoot myself. Going into, you know, locating my dad's weapon, I never had the intent of doing that. Never had the true, like, subconscious Emma, like, who is Emma? Like, that was not my intent. I strongly feel like it was my suicidal ideation and just all of the hurt and suffering that I had been feeling, pulling me and directing me to that option. And my mom obviously was on the phone after I had shot myself. And I'm still a little conscious here. And I hear her come back on the phone and say, okay, I'm back. What's going on? And I'm not obviously vocal. And so she starts to get a little worried. And she's like, Emma, are you still there? And I obviously don't answer again. And that's when she says, just stay where you are. I'm coming home. Don't move. And so from her story, she says that, you know, obviously I hadn't said what I was doing or what I was thinking or, you know, how I was really feeling. So she had no idea what was going on. But she says that, you know, call it what you want. We call it divine intervention. But she says that it was a mama's feeling that she needed to be home. She had to just get home. And she said she didn't tell anyone that she was leaving. She just hopped up at her desk and got in her car and drove home. And that was it.
So she saved your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That gave me chills because nothing like mother's intuition. So next I read a little passage from a vlog that Emma puts out there. I'm going to read something that you wrote. This was in your first entry of your vlog, 2017. So we're talking 6 months later after the attempt. And you're talking about, in general, about debating if you should write, debating on how will it come out, what will people think, you know, being hesitant about the blog and the content. And then you said, I prayed hard about it. I prayed for God to give me a sign, something to let me know what he wanted me to do. I thought about what life was like before I knew God. Constantly feeling lost because I didn't know how to pray or really who I was praying to. Then it hit me. Even though I don't know him, he knew me. I was saved to tell my story.
Yeah. Wow. That brought me to tears.
Wow. I mean, there you go. Like, there you go. You know, that was your thought 6 months after. And look at what you're doing today. And look at who you are today. Yeah. Don't cry. You're going to make me cry. Emma had learned a lot from the age of 16 to 20. And I asked her, for other young people who are going through what you did, what do you want them to know?
I just want people to know, if you're struggling, if you're going through it, just know that it's okay that you're struggling. It's okay that you're suffering. And to know that there is hope out there and there is help out there. Not to embrace what you're going through, but embrace it because that's your journey. That's your story. That's, I mean, we're all on a life journey. We all are going through the human condition together and separately. So just don't give up on yourself because I tried to give up on myself and I regret it to this day. You can have hope again. You can overcome and rise above whatever it is you're going through. And I just wish that, you know, I would have been brave enough to share that I was struggling. That way I could have received some of that encouragement, because I don't know, it might have helped me.
That's Emma Benoit, episode 39, titled Suicide Survivor Brings Hope. If you want to hear more or share it with a friend. Okay, thank you, Kanya, Leah, Bernadette, and Emma. I appreciate all of you so much. I appreciate each and every guest, not only this year, but over the past couple of years. I appreciate everyone who has listened and shared a meaningful episode to someone that you love and that you care about. Thank you so, so much for doing that. And I'm just so happy that these four could bring examples of love, faith, hope, and joy at this season. Thank you for giving us those gifts every single day. Hey, if you like this episode and you like the podcast and you want to hear more, I release new episodes on the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday of the month. And if you want to follow me, I am pretty much everywhere on social media at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. If it's in your heart to review the podcast, that helps new listeners be encouraged to stop and take a listen. You can do that on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. Okay, until next time, know you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked this show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend.